And welcome to the Ted Brewer Show with Austin Brewer and Ted Brewer. We're husband and son team here that are working together trying to get the world straightened out as far as health, nutrition, and some of the news and some of the politics, apparently. And so it's been a lot of fun. We've been doing this for a long time now, and we've been having a good time with it. And so good to have you guys with us again today. Austin, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, Father. You said it was a husband and son team, so it's a father and son team. Makes it a little less complicated to say it that way. But other than that, it's been a great day.
I'm sorry, Austin. I've had somebody here just walked out of the office, so I haven't. You're right, husband and son, father and son team. You're absolutely right. Here's the Bible verse of the day. I love this one of the verses in Ecclesiastes. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And praise God for the cross of Christ. Thank God that we have grace through Jesus Christ. And that when God sees us and we're quick to confess our sins, that we have the righteousness of Christ, and that's what God sees. And we are basically covered by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm so excited about being a Christian. I really, really am. I'm glad we're not under Old Testament philosophy anymore, kind of like the Quran and the folks over there, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth under Mosaic law, and they whack off heads and whack off hands. I'm so glad we're not. Well, of course, if we keep bringing all the Muslims over here, Austin, we may be back under that same mess too. So what's your first story of the day?
Well, yeah, first story related to that now. You know, back last year, Texas and Alabama, multiple states, filed suit as far as to prevent unvetted Muslims from basically being resettled in their state. Texas, though, hit a major setback on Monday, a couple days ago, after a federal judge rejected its effort to block Syrian refugees from resettling in the Lone Star State. U.S. District Court David Godby of Dallas ruled on Monday that it was not up to the courts to interfere with issues that should be handled by the executive branch, and that Texas officials failed to prove the state could win its lawsuit challenging the process of finding refugees new homes. Here's the issue with this whole thing, is this district court judge needs to become more aggressive, to say the least, and understand that it is not up to the executive branch whether or not the state needs to get tens of thousands of undocumented immigrants in here that basically want to come in and inflict harm on people without vetting them. It is the state in the state's last resort to prevent this from happening. And they are very good at doing so, and this is what they should be doing instead of the court basically preventing him from being able to do that. You know, the whole suit that came about was that the officials in Texas claimed the federal government violated the Refugee Act of 1980 by not consulting states in deciding where the Syrian refugees should be placed to live in the United States, which is exactly what happened. They're bringing these guys in by, you know, plane load. They're not telling anybody where they're going. They're not giving any state officials any leads as far as where they're being dropped off. They're just putting them in the middle of areas, and we find out basically at the last second what's going on. It's completely unacceptable, and it is the state's requirement to prevent this from happening when they see something illegal and unconstitutional coming into their state. So I really hope that Texas can get some more momentum going back with that, but it's sad to see that they were the first state to file that, and now basically they've been denied.
Well, if I was the state and I was the governor of the state, I would just ignore it. I would not allow the refugees to come in. See, the thing we have here is states' rights that have completely been trumped on and taken away from us. What ended up happening back in 1861, when we had this aggression of the northern states against the southern states, it was all about states' rights and the rights of the state to determine their future, to determine their level of commerce, to determine which laws they were not going to deal with as far as from the federal government, which was only allowed at that point to do tariffs and to generate revenue for itself by that. And when Lincoln came in and he usurped that authority and he threw the southern states into basically slavery is what he did, And then they had the, what a mess. People didn't even realize the Emancipation Proclamation freed the states and the slaves in the South. It didn't do anything with the slaves in the North. And the craziest part about all of this, a lot of the slave owners had already started giving up slaves in the South anyhow because Eli Whitney had developed the cotton gin, and slaves were no longer viable as far as any source of a good source of revenue because it cost too much to feed them and to clothe them and to house them, and they couldn't pick cotton nearly as quick as the cotton gin. So the truth, Austin, this all goes back to 1861. This all goes back to Abraham Lincoln, who was a communist, who was good friends with Karl Marx. It all goes back to the usurping of the states' rights 150, 160 years ago now. And sadly, we're still dealing with the southern states being taken advantage of by the northern states. And it's just all nuts. And the sad thing about any of this is the fact that the people who live in a town should have the right, as that township in that state or that county, to determine if they want to have a bunch of jihadist Muslims or any other ethnic groups come into their areas and cause problems. I watched a video today on YouTube and a lady who was in France, and she was in a small town, I think it was Marseille, and she was talking about what has happened with the Muslims there, and they have entire areas now where the police are not even allowed to go because it's under Sharia law, and if they try to go into those areas, they're immediately attacked, including the civilians. How the Muslims are coming into their homes in the areas that are not under Sharia law, just walking in the houses and demanding food, and if they don't get what they want from the people in the house, they get beat up, and I mean, on and on and on. And the sad part about it is, where are the rights of the individuals, Austin? Where are the rights? This is, again, back into a feudal system, into a serf state, in which we have no rights, and the great and almighty Oz, the powerful federal government that's being controlled by corporate interests and special and banking banks around the world now, tell us what we can and can't do, who we have to have living with us. And the sad part about this is, these people are not American citizens. I mean, if an American citizen wants to come over to this country, or if a person wants to come over and go through citizenship requirements, and they decide they want to move into an area in Texas, Texas doesn't care, but they're not doing that, Austin. They're bringing in entire blocks, 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people. And some of the smaller towns that they're putting them into, the towns don't even have as many people as they're putting into, and they're doing that in Germany too. So that makes the entire town overly biased as far as for jihad law, for the jihadists, and for the Sharia law, and for the Muslims' faith. And it's destroying the culture of the South. It's destroying the culture of the United States. But, oh, yes, that's what their intent was. That's what they're trying to do. And so, do you agree with me, Austin? This goes back to Lincoln?
Oh, yeah, this is exactly what it goes back to. That's why I wanted to bring that article up, because the judge that basically issued that it's the executive branch that needs to decide that, is completely and totally, he's misconstrued his history. Everything goes back to Lincoln as far as doing that, but the only way we're going to regain our rights is to push further on incidences like this, where we want to try and hold our own and say, hey, no, we don't want this. We are a state still. We're an individual state. We have individual laws. The laws in here that are in Florida are not the same that are in Georgia, are not the same in California. That means each state has individual laws that we can basically change as we want as a state. That means that we have the right to say, hey, we don't want these guys coming in here that want to basically provide ill will towards us. There's another article now. Turkey is basically extremely irritated. They said they're about to open up the gate and allow hundreds of thousands of refugees on its soil into Europe. The country's president threatened on Thursday. Recep Tayyip Erdogan said the EU leaders have not delivered the 3 billion euros in aid his government was promised in exchange for halting the tide of refugees. Remember, Turkey's right over there at the top where it turns into Europe from the Middle East and is basically a giant blockade. He said Turkey is struggling to cope. They've taken in more than 2.5 million refugees now on their soil. And basically, and when they did that, by the British government, they were offered 3 billion euros in aid in exchange for halting the flow of boats and more transport into the rest of Europe. Now, basically, the president of Turkey has said, we've had enough. You guys still haven't given us any money. We keep taking in more and more and more and more refugees. If you guys don't pay us this money, basically, we're going to let them loose on the rest of Europe that we're holding them back. So I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. I don't know if this is more obfuscation from something else going on, but I would imagine that, I mean, once you start taking in millions of refugees under the assumption you're going to get billions of dollars in aid and you never get the money, it becomes a pretty big strain on your economic system in a short period of time. What do you think?
Well, Turkey's number one. Their leader was put into the CIA through Goldman Sachs, their president. Okay. And so this whole thing, Turkey's is the funnel that all the drugs run into Europe. And so this guy, and he's completely and totally encased in greed to start with. And he knows that if he does this black, what he's doing is blackmailing Europe. And Europe is so, and Angela Merkel is so stupid, she opened up these floodgates because she's, well, she's not really stupid. She's just doing what she was told to do. She's just being an obedient, you know, globalist is all she is. The whole thing is to destroy the culture of Germany. It's like I told you guys the other day. Germany used to be so clean you could literally eat off the sidewalks. It's filthy now. It's like any other major city in the United States. It's just filthy. The bathrooms are filthy. The sidewalks are filthy. The streets are filthy. The buildings are filthy. It's like anything else you'd see in southern part of Europe, you know, like in Italy. Italy's always had really dirty streets. So has Spain and the bigger cities. Germany was always this pristine little jewel that sat there in Europe that was just perfect. Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. Now, Switzerland is still very, very clean. Austria is okay, but Germany, because of the massive influx of workers they've had, because the Germans have stopped reproducing and replacing themselves, they've just deteriorated. Germany is not what it used to be. The last few times I've driven on the Autobahn, which has no speed limits in certain areas, it wasn't even fun because the people don't know how to drive. You'll be driving 130, 140 miles an hour legally in the left-hand lane, and a minivan full of migrants will pull over in front of you and give you 10 car lengths to stop, and you're locking up the brakes on your car, and they're doing 70 miles an hour in the high-speed lane. And it happened over and over and over and over again this last time I was in Europe when I was doing the reporting last fall as far as the immigration problems that they were having. So Germany is no longer what it was. It's no longer the jewel of Europe. It's become the jihadist capital of Europe now. And the sad part about it is it's not going to get any better. Also, there's 8 million of these people in the pipeline right now, not just Turkey. Turkey's housing millions of them. There's millions all over the place that are trying to force their way out of Africa. Because remember, all that land over there is connected. They can go right up through the central, through Egypt, and go right up in through there, and go back up in through Turkey. And that's what they're doing. And if they can't get there on the land route, they'll take the boats and they get capsized, and they're coming over on rafts and everything else. Because Angela Merkel has told them they're going to get free food, free house, and everything else. And the lady that I was listening to today in France, she was in tears, and she said it's the end of civilization as we know it. And of course, go to the hell holes these people come from. I mean, and I'm being very sincere when I use the word hell hole. I've been there, Austin. You've been there with me. You've been to Egypt with me. We've been to Cairo together. We've been to Alexandria together. These places are hell holes. And that was before we overthrew the government in Egypt. I can't even imagine what kind of hell hole it is now. And that's why they want to leave these places. Every place these Muslims go, because of their Sharia law, they destroy everything. And when they destroy everything, nobody wants to live there anymore. I have a friend of mine. He's a Muslim over in, but he's an American citizen. He's been for many, many years. He's a really nice guy. He has a restaurant over in Lake Alfred close to us. And he told me, he says, there's no law left. And he came from Pakistan. He goes, there's no law left. He goes, the Muslims have completely destroyed the entire infrastructure. He said he had land there that has been in his family for the last 50 years. He left to come to the United States. He goes back over there, and somebody built a house on his property, built a house on it. And now he can't get the property back. No, it's true. That's what he told me. And his name is Hafiz. And he says, Ted, I went over there. I got so stressed out trying to get the property back, I had a massive heart attack. And he goes, I almost died. And he goes, I can't get the land back. He goes, everything's so corrupt there because of Sharia law. He goes, we can't do anything. So he's even realizing there's a problem with the Muslims. I remember a few weeks ago, Alex Jones brought that one big Muslim guy on. I forgot the guy's name. You guys know who I'm talking about. He's a black guy, one of the top Muslim leaders in the United States. And even he wants the Muslim traffic coming into the United States stopped. See, if we allow this culture to come in and to destroy us here, it'll destroy the very fabric of our country and our civilization, which, of course, is exactly what Cloward and Piven taught at Columbia. This is what they wanted to do. If you overwhelm the country with social welfare systems, then the country becomes completely dependent on the social welfare, and the country can no longer pay for the social welfare, and you start having to take all the money from everybody to split things up, which brings us right back into socialism and communism, which Russia has already proven does not work. 100 years of rule from Lenin, Russia was completely and totally bankrupt. It wasn't until Putin came in and restored the republic over there, or whatever type of law they have, or whatever type of government they have. And that's now Russia is a really nice place to live in. They're number one exporter of wheat in the world. And the nuttiest part about all of this, Austin, is we're supposed to be the good guys, but because of these Sabbatane, Frankist, Kabbalist, Luciferian bankers that have taken over the planet with their doggone fiat money system and their Babylonian money magic, we have been completely subverted. The entire culture, the entire country has been taken over by these guys. And that's why I really, really, really hope, and I really do, I mean this, I sincerely pray this, we pray for Donald Trump all the time, that he can win this election. Because it's like I said yesterday when we had Wayne Allen Root on. If not Donald Trump, who? If not Donald Trump, who? And I urge you guys to go to the archives and listen to Wayne Allen Root from yesterday, because he went into detail on what Trump's planning on doing, on who's running the planet. And I thought he did an excellent job for us, Austin. And some of the 2 and 3, 4 minute segments that he had, that he was talking, I thought he was extremely articulate and very, very well spoken, and he made a lot of sense. What do you think?
Oh yeah, he was spot on. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, and it's not that, you know, Trump is the all great savior of America. The only person that is that is God Almighty. But we need somebody in here that's more like we the people. Now, granted, Donald Trump's a billionaire. He is not like most normal middle class Americans, but he understands how to run things correctly. He understands how to operate business from a positive cash flow standpoint. Most of these guys in Congress, most of them in the entire aspect of the government, absolutely have no legitimate business backing at all. They've never run a business and actually had it operate profitably. All they do is know how to vote themselves more bonuses, vote themselves more pay, vote themselves more insurance. That's all they know how to do. And so we have a whole group of individuals in there that are just essentially, they're lifelong politicians. All they know how to do is get people essentially to bribe them, give them more money, lobbyists, bring in more cash. That's all they know how to do. That's one thing I love about Donald Trump. As he said repeatedly, I don't need your money. You don't need to support my campaign. You don't need to give me money. I don't need your money. Please don't send me any money. And so he's not sitting there begging for cash like a lot of these guys do, which is such an irritant to me, because I'm sitting there going, if you think you're that successful of a person, you want to run in a campaign to be the president of the United States, why do I need to give you $10,000 or $20,000, $30,000 campaign contribution? Why can't you figure it out on your own from a business owner, from a business standpoint, how to garner enough cash to operate a campaign correctly and effectively? That's why I like his aspect of it. And one thing you said about Putin that I really like is he's been doing is, I was reading an article the other day, and that as he's trying to expand his non-GMO food production, there's a lot of areas in Russia that still don't have a lot of people living in them, because they're just not, it's more rural areas, kind of like Kansas, Nebraska, stuff like that. Well, he's offering families of like married couples, stuff like that, to give them, it's basically like 5 acres of property, and he pays them $20,000 to be farmers on it if they grow non-GMO food. And so what it does is it basically helps subsidize, it brings more income in, it gives them an alternative to say, hey, we're going to help you as the government, we're going to give you some money, but in return, you're going to also contribute to society. Instead of what we've developed now is this giant poverty model in the United States where people get rich essentially on doing nothing. We actually pay people to do nothing. We don't even try and help them or make them contribute to anything. All they do is sit around all day long, produce nothing, make nothing, earn nothing, and suck from the government and make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year by doing nothing. That model doesn't work. As you mentioned before, there's only so many people that can ride in the cart and so many people that can pull the cart. Once you have 100 people in the cart and 2 or 3 people pulling the cart, it doesn't work anymore. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the United States. That's exactly why our budget goes up higher and higher every year. We can't meet the numbers. We can't contribute to anything anymore because nobody's working. The only people that are working are the ones that are making stuff and selling stuff, and all of us are getting sick of it because everybody wants to raise more taxes on it. So, yes, I'm very in favor of Trump's overall policy, especially of cutting down the tax bracket, especially for the middle class that are actually the main producers of things in the United States.
Well, it's interesting, too. I mean, even if you took 100% of the taxes from the top 3% of the wage earners in the country, it's still not enough to balance the budget or to pay these deficits. And that's what people don't get. And see, we can't continue to run it like this. And once we lose the reserve currency status, which is going to happen, because China and Russia and Brazil and South America, South Africa, they're going to come in. And India, they're going to come in and set up a whole different reserve currency. And when that happens and people don't have to trade in U.S. dollars anymore to get oil, it's going to completely change everything in the United States. The problem is most Americans don't understand that. I mean, my mom was there when the inflation hit Germany in the Weimar Republic, and she knew what would happen. And what I particularly liked what Wayne said yesterday, and I hadn't thought about it for a while because I don't really like to think about Obama and that strange wife that looks like a man that he's married to. And, you know, it's so strange to me, the whole situation with Joan Rivers calling it out and being dead less than 30 days later. And then what was interesting to me about this is that he said again yesterday, reminded us of the fact that Obama said, "You didn't build that." You know, yep. I remember when I started Health Masters, Austin, back in 1981. I remember working 80 and 100-hour weeks. And I remember 4 or 5 years, we had no profit at all on the company. And a couple of years ago, back in 07, when everything collapsed again in 08, I didn't personally take a paycheck out of the company for 5 or 6 years, and you know that. And because I know that what it takes to run a company and what it takes to pay my staff and pay people working for me, pay you, pay salary, pay UPS, pay bills, and all this government bureaucracy and paperwork that you have to hire a CPA just to try to figure out how to do it all. And so I understand what it is to work for nothing for long, long periods of time, and I realize the truth is this. He's an idiot. Anybody who'd make a comment like that's an idiot. And the government doesn't produce anything. They don't generate anything. Look at Amtrak. It loses money every year. Look at the post office. It loses money every year. The only way they can fund themselves is to tax the people that are actually earning income with jobs and with businesses, etc. And now the globalists are buying up everything, like I explained to Wayne yesterday, with their interlocking corporate directorships, with their $19 trillion in off-book balance sheets, and nobody will talk about where it went. And the sad part about this is, before it's over with, the bankers are going to own everything. There's a really good book, and I've mentioned it to you guys before, and you can get it online. It's free. You get a free PDF download. It's called Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery. I mentioned it to Wayne yesterday, I believe, also. Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery. It's a 30-minute read. It's a super easy read, and it explains that when the interest is never printed on the money that is borrowed, you can never pay the principal off because you can never pay the interest off. And if you try to pay the interest off and the principal off, you can track the M1 money supply, and there's no money left to maintain commerce. It doesn't exist. That's why in the early 70s with Reagan, when Nixon paid off, when he balanced the budget, we went into a recession. When Clinton supposedly balanced the budget, well, he never did, but he supposedly did, we went into a recession. And when those things happen, it contracts the money supply. It causes a recession. This is always what happens with Keynesian economics and fiat currency. That's why it should never be used. And sadly, people don't even know this stuff, Austin, except for unless they listen to this show. But again, we didn't build it. You know, we didn't do anything with it. I mean, where was Obama? I mean, why can't anybody find him at Columbia University? Why is a top history professor there, went back through all of his classes and all of his roles from all of the years that Obama was there, and he never saw Obama's main there? I mean, yesterday, Wayne Strait called him out as a Manchurian candidate, and I told you guys again yesterday that we talked about how Obama's first executive order was to sign and to seal all of his own personal records so nobody could do any background checks on him. I mean, the whole thing is nuts. The entire situation is completely untenable, and the sad part about it is, unless we get somebody in there like Donald Trump, who are we going to put in there? Another Bush? The Bush crime family syndicate? Are you kidding me? Are we going to put in Rubio with his Miami foam parties that he was involved in? His best friend's a gay pornographer out of Miami, or used to be back when he was in college? That's who we're going to put in? I mean, really? The guy has to memorize 3 lines and he says 3 things over and over and over again? Is that who we want to have in? Or how about Ted Cruz, who completely and totally cheats in Iowa, sends out cards with Trump and the Clintons on a photograph to all the people that are voting, so trying to skew the election, you know, and turns around and tells everybody that Ben Carson had dropped out of the race. Are you kidding me? We want him in the White House? He already shows what a criminal cabal he's got going before he even gets to halfway there. So he's pretty much eliminated himself. Ruby's eliminated himself, you know. Let's change topics. I'm just getting frustrated. I'm dragging on this. Here's another interesting article. This is from it's a planned post-human future by Alexander Bruce, and it's called Weaponized Cell Towers Feature Large Kill Radiuses. This is a very interesting article. I want you guys to stay with me for this for a second, because I watched the video, corresponding video with this, and it's talking about how that in a communication satellite uses 2,400 watts of power, about the same as two hair dryers. A microwave uses about 1,000 watts or kilowatts of energy. And the satellite gets energy from solar panels, and the microwave gets it from a utility grid. A microwave oven's internal magnetron, which is virtually the same thing as a radar or cell phone tower, they used to call them radar ovens to start with, transforms electrical energy into microwaves. This guy who does this video shows that the cables leading to a typical cell phone tower, which he describes as a giant microwave oven on a stick, are capable of releasing 3 megawatts of output power to this tower's magnetron, or even megawatts, and there's an amplifier at the top. And so what he's saying is you could literally have a cell phone tower that could cook everybody within a 4 or 5 mile radius around the tower if they turned the power up to it, Austin, if they wanted to have a giant kill zone. Is that crazy or what?
Yeah,
I didn't know that was even possible. And so I've got a friend of mine, because Alexandra Bruce is pretty smart. She's got like a ridiculously high IQ. Girl's brilliant. I know her personally. She has a thing called Forbidden Knowledge TV. You can sign up for her website if you want and get these things sent to you for free. And what's interesting about this is she said the guy's right about all his statistics and all his physics on this. And I watched the actual video that he did on this, and it's unbelievable, the power. Now, I've got a friend of mine who works on microwave towers, and I'm going to ask him about this. He builds those things and sets up the cables and the wiring. If this is true, if we have a kill radius around every microwave tower with microwave energy, that's bad. That's real bad, Austin. I mean, why do they have to be able to put out 3 million watts of power? Unless, again, they're being used to control the energetic field around the planet, or being used as Gwen towers to transmit information for mind control, which is what we did that one show on a couple weeks ago, which said they can be used for that. So I thought that was interesting, because I wanted to cover that today, and I wanted to kind of let you guys know that, you know, we're just kind of trying to figure out what's going on around here. What's your next story, bud?
Well, this is interesting. At least Germans are starting to push back, thank goodness, now on this. Remember, about a week ago, I discussed how the German government proposed a ban on 500 euro bills. They wanted to basically stop producing those, and also they wanted to put a full cash ban of anything over 5,000 euros. And we discussed how absolutely just moronic that idea was, but they're saying now it's to combat money laundering and finance terrorism. Now, Germany is basically being met with fierce resistance all the way across the country over this. They face opposition from a broad alliance from politician parties as well as the country's best-selling newspaper. And what's interesting is that what they're bringing up is it has nothing to do, as we already mentioned, with stopping money laundering. 5,000 euros, if you're talking about trying to stop money laundering, these guys are just going to go somewhere else with it. And they said that the cash transactions in most other countries, in France, the limit was lowered from 3,000 euros to 1,000 euros last September, and they still can't track everything. All it is more from the government. All they want to do is restrict more of everything, and they did a poll to see what most Germans said, and they said 79% of the payments in Germany are still made in cash, compared to 48% in Britain. And a YouGov survey stated that 72% of Germans said they consider it safer to pay in cash. So the rhetoric and the numbers that basically the German, I think, counselor, whoever it was, that came out with last week about stating that like 89% of Germans prefer electronic currency over cash and all this other stuff was full-blown propaganda piece. And almost none of the Germans that have read any of that agree with it. Nobody wants their cash restricted at all.
Well, you know, it's so funny. My mom was so funny because, you know, she was born in Germany in 1916, and she would literally have people take her places to pay her bills in cash. She didn't want a checkbook. See, what happens is that this has been bred into them about what happened with the Weimar Republic. They don't trust banks at all.
No, okay? Not at all.
They don't trust it. Their granddaddies, their great-granddaddies have told them, you don't do this. And so they're absolutely right. The German people are just different. They like the banks. They don't like having to deal with checks. They don't like using credit cards as much. I mean, we're just different like that in our country. And so in fact, one of the major banks in Europe came out in Germany last week after that happened. He goes, I am not going to restrict the people in my bank from doing this. I'm not going to turn them in. He goes, because if I do, I will have a revolt on my hands. He goes, I'm not going to do this. They were not going to tolerate it. See, again, they're trying to be forced into a one world government. They're trying to be forced into a position in which they will no longer have any rights as they've done to us in America. Because remember, and always remember this, all Germany is since World War II is a vassal state of the United States of America. That's why we have military bases still in Germany right now. Okay, because we control that country pretty much from an electoral standpoint, and our Rothschild banking control system controls that Rothschild banking control system through the Bank of England. So all of these are interconnected. They're trying to bring us into a one-world currency, a one-world government as quickly as possible, because China and Russia and India and so many other countries now want to leave the dollar as the reserve currency. And if that happens, they're going to lose a lot of the stranglehold they have with the IMF and the Bank of International Settlements, Austin, and they're going to have another whole system set up with the SWIFT payments around the world and the transfer of funds. They don't want that. And that's why they're like they're on steroids now trying to get it done as quickly as they can. Here's another thing with Russia today. Russia is now banning American corn and soybeans. This is from Russia Today. Starting February the 15th, soybeans and corn from the U.S. will no longer be welcomed in Russia, announced the country's food and safety watchdog on Wednesday. They say American producers have failed to meet Russian biological standards. The watchdog has found dry rot in corn and numerous weed seeds in soybeans. He added, U.S. officials said the assessment of corn is done without checking any microbiological conditions. We were dumbfounded, Russia said that we were dumbfounded. Every batch of product should come with a microbiological certificate that guarantees food safety. It turns out the products are not being tested. Why would they test them? They don't care. They feed us junk to us. They want to poison us anyway. Another poison Russia. Russia says we don't be poisoned. In 2015, the watchdog found 64 cases of bacterially contaminated U.S. soybeans. I mean, so Russia is now saying, no, we don't want your corn or we don't want your soybeans. Unbelievable, Oz.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I can't blame them. They're about the only country in the world now that has any verstand when it comes to the food they're eating. The European Union's done a little bit with it, but like we said before, Russia's already come out and they stated that they want to be, I think, fully self-dependent on their own non-GMO food by 2020, and they have the land and the manpower to do so. So I think they'll do it. This is an interesting article. I went through it the other day because I was trying to make a little bit more understanding of it. It was from All News Pipeline, and they basically talked about how, you know, you guys heard about like 150 different Walmart stores closed on January 28th this year, like 2 weeks ago, all over the country. A lot of them, I think actually 29 of them were just in Texas, which is weird. What's interesting about this, though, is they're stating that, you know, the economy slowed down, Walmart sales have slowed down. But what we're seeing is a lot of these Walmart closures have been in pretty small communities, and they're leaving these giant gaps. But one of the weirdest things that stood out is that almost all these ones that are closing are very recent. They've been built in the last 3-4, some of them no more than 5 or 6 years, but they're all literally right within the vicinity of a railroad track. All of them. And now I went to our local Walmart store. We have a super center here in Auburndale, and if you look, the front entrance of Walmart that comes in, which is off State Road 92, is literally about maybe 150, 200 yards away from a railroad track. The plant goes right through the orange factory as well. But what's interesting is almost all these Walmarts are always located literally right beside a railroad track. What's interesting about that, though, is that when's the last time you saw railroad containers dropping off products at Walmart? They don't. Semi-trucks always do. Semi-trucks with Walmart Supercenter signs on the side of them delivered. That's how they get all their stuff. They drop off the tractor trailers. What's interesting, though, is they go into detail in this article. I mean, Gentry, Arkansas, this one was built like 3 years ago, just got shut down on the 28th. Railroad tracks run literally right behind it. Gray Court, South Carolina, same exact thing. Stroud, Oklahoma, same thing. Pikeville, North Carolina, same thing. Midway, North Carolina, same thing. Columbia, Kansas, Waxon, Texas, Edgewood, Texas, same thing. I mean, just repeat it over and over and over again. And these Walmarts are all like 2, 3, 4 years old. Like, they just built them. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me from a financial standpoint why Walmart would spend the building power. Because if you notice, Walmart never takes over buildings, ever. When's the last time you saw them turn a building into a Walmart store? They don't. They erect them from the ground up. That way they can build them the exact floor plan that they want. They build brand new Walmarts, and they use them as such. Why are you going to build these giant super centers run them for 2 or 3 years, say, hey, our sales aren't very good, we're just going to shut the whole store down, put a for sale sign on the front of it and walk away from it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, I'm not speculating, I'm just saying my honest opinion on it. There's definitely something else going on behind this. We know Walmart's been involved with the Department of Defense back with the 80s. The Clintons were tied in with Walmart. There's a lot of weird stuff about Walmart. They're already pre-designed areas that can handle influx of Department of Defense, weapons, storage, anything like that. They can automatically take shipments from them in times of emergency. Look it up. It's online. So it's pretty odd to me that all of a sudden they just build all these Walmarts in the last 4 or 5 years and now shut down 150 of them out of nowhere. And again, like I said, almost all these ones are like within a quarter mile to a half a mile of railroad tracks. I just thought that was interesting. You guys take it as you wish. If you don't believe me, look it up. Very interesting.
Well, I know Dave Hodges, he did a show, I believe it was on Tuesday night of this week, on Hagman and Hagman. Hodges is a good friend of mine. I'll have him back on the show probably next week. And Dave, and Hodges is a good friend. Hagmans are great friends. And the truth of the matter is that Dave really believes as though we're fixing to go to martial law. And reality is, if the banking system does have a bank holiday or bank collapse, Austin, it's a very high probability we will have to go to martial law to sustain, suspend the unrest. And it won't be for any extended period of time, but it'll be long enough to take the dissidents, supposedly. I guess that would be the Christians and the white Christians and the black Christians and the fellow Christians and the patriots, I guess, and the people who believe in Jesus, because we've all been listed in the ex-military and have to isolate them into a concentrated area. And I don't know if the Walmarts are going to be used for that. I have absolutely no idea. All I know is that Walmart sales are down. Their profits are way down. The entire Dry Baltic Index is completely collapsing around us. Maastricht, we did that report yesterday, one of the largest shipping companies in the world. Their sales, their shipping, and these are finished products now. These are finished goods are coming from China and from Europe into the United States. Their sales are collapsing. Their shipping and containers are collapsing. They're losing millions and millions of dollars. And so I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Here's another thing about the Zika, though. This is from the Corbett report. And this is good. He comes in and says, the Zika is a bust, but it has accomplished its mission. $1.8 billion in funding, further trial runs of the medical martial law apparatus in another part of the world, and more adulation for the fearless World Health Organization. I mean, wow, can you believe this? They're actually saying that the Zika thing, nobody got any traction with it because 98% of the people that are coming down with these small heads, this microcephaly, had no exposure to these mosquitoes or to the Zika virus, and these small heads are being caused primarily from the pesticides. By the way, Roundup does cause microcephaly. It's one of the side effects of having a pregnant woman exposed to this. So, guys, listen to me. Ladies, listen to me. If you got a pregnant person living with you, or your wife's pregnant, or your daughter's pregnant, tell them not to spray Roundup. It is so stinking poisonous. And don't get around this stuff. I mean, I just have learned just to use salt, pool salt, and all the weeds around the house and in the driveways. Salt doesn't hurt anybody. It's actually good for you. I wouldn't eat pool salt because it's not very clean. But the point is, it's just not something you need to be putting pesticides and herbicides down all the time. And Roach Proof, which is boric acid, does a great job as far as getting rid of roaches. If you'll take ample amounts of boric acid and you put it in between your studs when you're building between the pieces of sheetrock, and it's take your whole house and spend a couple hundred bucks on boric acid, you get it at a local farm store, feed store. And what you can do is you can literally roach-proof the entire house, and you never have roaches. I know with my office downtown where Austin is right now, when we built that facility some 25 years ago, we roach-proofed everything. And we've never yet had to have guys come in and spray that thing for bugs because there's no roaches there. They can't live in there because they get into the cracks, get into the walls. The roach proof doesn't go bad. It's called boric acid, and it keeps these things dead. You can put them under your cabinets, under your appliances. You put all this stuff in there, and it keeps these roaches out without having to put a bunch of pesticides in your house. I mean, it's just unbelievable how bad it is to be spraying poison inside of your house and then breathing all of this stuff. Cliven Bundy, by the way, has been arrested in Portland as Oregon occupiers say they will surrender on Thursday. This is from MSN.com. Cliven Bundy, the controversial Nevada rancher at the center of an armed standoff with federal officials in 2014, was arrested in Portland Wednesday, according to jail records and news reports. He was reportedly on his way to the National Wildlife Refugees in isolated north southeastern Oregon when an armed occupation is at its 41st day, seemed to be coming to an end. The occupation had been organized by Bundy's sons, Ammon and Ryan, who are now in jail
facing a felony charge of conspiracy to impede a federal officer. The last remaining members of the occupation had said they will turn themselves over on Thursday morning. Let's see if they can do that to stay alive, after the FBI appeared to close in on their encampment. Wow. So another one of these things just absolutely going sideways all again, Austin.
Well, yeah, it's sad, because I understand the aspect of why they did what they did as far as trying to prevent the government from encroaching on more land and owning more property. Like we talked about yesterday, I think the U.S. government owns like 88% or 82% of Nevada, stuff like that. I mean, it's really insane how much property they own. I mean, I talked about it in detail last week or 2 weeks ago. So I understand their point of view, why they did it. The problem was it was handled badly. With the whole thing with Clive and Bundy 2 years ago, where the BLM was basically trying to take over his ranch, they were instigating the issue. They were trying to basically take them off their property forcibly. They were using tasers against unarmed protesters. So the situation was really more of a defense situation, and it was handled like it should have been. These guys going in, arming up, strapping on armor and boots and rifles, and taking over a refuge center, there's not really any good direction for it to go. And I mean, the one individual lost his life at the hands of the completely insane FBI agents that thought there was a Gestapo and needed to execute him when he was walking through the snow when he ran his truck off the side of the road. Those guys need to be indicted under investigation for how they handled that entire situation. But that being said, everything up there in that refuge, we talked about it when it started. It wasn't going to go well from the beginning. We have, as patriots, we have to pick our battles wisely. We have to pick them correctly on how we handled it as well. Doing this kind of stuff and trying to make a point about it and taking over federal government buildings, whether it's a refuge or even any type of other building, is not a wise decision to do, especially when there is no threat or bodily harm in the current present time. Nobody was threatened. Nobody was being injured. Two individuals were being arrested for felony charges. The best thing to do with that is let an attorney handle it in the court and try and get the charges dismissed. But going in and arming yourself up and barricading in a refuge, it sets up a bad precedent, because then other people start getting crazy ideas about going into other buildings. And secondly, it makes the patriot groups look like we're a bunch of gun-toting weirdos. We're just a bunch of radicals that go do stuff like this. It's not good for the cause. So anybody that has those kind of ideas, make sure you talk about them with other people that are like-minded, but get other opinions before you start engaging in this type of activity, because it's generally not positive for anybody.
No, same thing. I mean, you got to choose what you want to do. I mean, I pay all my income tax, I pay all my sales tax, I pay all my property taxes, I pay my taxes, all of them, probably more than I'm supposed to pay, because I realized a long time ago that's not the battle that I've chosen to fight. The reality is, I mean, if you want to fight that battle, more power to you. That's something I don't choose to do, because I'm trying to operate within a system. I was taught that by Jim Rohn many, many years ago when he told me. He said, Ted, he goes, here's the deal. He goes, if the taxes have to be paid because we're trying to keep the interstate highways open, who's supposed to run the interstate highways if we don't pay any taxes? And I thought, well, that's true. And so I just figure it's just part of the tax situation that we have to have. And so they're doing a new off-ramp or whatever in my highway service. My drive down get on the interstate, I think, well, I guess I'm paying for part of this on-ramp. Congratulations. Well done. Then see, the biggest problem we have is that the taxes don't even cover but a small fraction now of the national the budget, the $3 or $4 trillion budget that King Obama put in. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, the problem with all of this is that, you know, sooner or later you just run out of people to have any kind of money left to pay anything, and everybody's just broke all the time. That's why, what was it, 60% of the population has a negative net worth, Austin? It's some horrible number like that, with 100 million people unemployed now in the United States and no longer seeking employment, so they don't show up on the unemployment rolls. I mean, what a mess. Here's another interesting article. This is from WND, and this is funny. Officials in San Diego are changing a new directive. It's called Visual and Correspondence Style Guidelines. The publication had been issued to employees to not reference the founding fathers of the United States. They didn't want to use the word fathers because it was sexist, suggesting that our founding fathers should be referred to as founders. It's political correctness run amok. We are proud of our nation's history, and there is nothing wrong with referring to the founding fathers as founding fathers. Once the mayor became aware of this yesterday, he directed the founder's example to be removed from the document. This is so stupid, Austin. Where were the women? I'm not saying there weren't any women involved in the founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence, but I didn't see any women who signed it. That's why they're called the founding fathers. This is when men were men, when alpha males were alpha males. This morning I had a guy come by with his wife and his little girl, and they were looking at a used car that I'm selling that Harrison was driving. And what was interesting about it is the guy, when I walked up to him, I mean, I thought he was I couldn't tell if he was a guy or a girl, to be honest with you. I mean, it was awful. And then he started talking, and he talked like a girl, and I thought myself, and he's married, he's got two kids, and I thought myself, bless his heart, he's probably another soy boy. All these boys that were given all of this soy formula when they were first born, or their mothers drank soy milk thinking they were healthy, have caused all of these boys to be so effeminate now. And it's sad. And see, this is what we've lost. We've lost the real men in the United States, and not all of us are gone, but it's getting harder and harder and harder to find real macho boys that are young because of all of this political correctness nonsense, because of all the soy, because of all the hormones in the meat. And so where have all the alpha males gone? I mean, remember that old song, I Need a Hero? You know, where have all the men gone? I mean, it's the truth, son. Where have all the men gone in the United States of America? And so when we have a few men that are left that are doing things, let's choose the battles well and not be getting involved with wildlife refugees and stuff like that, you know, with refugees up in Oregon. I mean, that was the whole thing. And now all the Bundys are all being charged with felonies, Oz. I mean, here they got out of that mess 2 years ago and kind of skated on all of that, which I think they should have had a right to do that. And now they're all either in jail or being charged with felonies. So now they're going to be tied up in court for years to years to come, trying to get these charges either dropped or lowered. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is that we're seeing, too, like you were saying with the kids, is this political correctness. What it comes down to is it's language control. And when it comes down to it even further, language control is thought control. Political correctness is censorship. It's soft censorship, but it is intolerance disguised as tolerance. It makes no sense at all to anybody that has a brain that actually functions in a normal capacity. But when you start having stuff like that article you talked about the other day, where it was having those school children click which genders they identified with, and it gave them like 28 different options.
That's ridiculous.
Click,
that's
and
right.
They could pick as many as they wanted. And the more the media, the more society, the more the school system indoctrinates these kids into this complete and total horse poop political correctness garbage and this gender, don't be gender biased, everybody can be gender neutral nonsense. No, and there was a video on the other day, it was a comedian, he was making a joke about it, and he was using a puppet, and the dog asked this girl, he was a dog puppet, he goes, can I hump your leg? She goes, no, you can't hump my leg. You're a dog, but I don't want you to hump my leg. And he goes, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So he started to do it, and she goes, well, you need to stop. He goes, no, you can't tell me to stop. I'm a dog, but I identify myself as a shin guard. So you can't tell me to stop doing that. It was a big spoof on it, but that's where we've become now. Where it's, these people are like, no, I'm not a boy. I identify myself as a bisexual transgender girl. Or whatever they want to say it. It makes no cotton picking sense whatsoever that it's so egregious and so stupid that most people can't fathom it. But the problem is a large portion of the United States now is actually starting to go that way, and that's what we're seeing. This article right here, this one hits right at home because I love race trucks. I love cars. Been into it my whole life. The EPA, another gigantic alphabet organization in the United States, complete and total nonsense. They don't do anything positive for anybody. They're seeking out to remove more freedoms from American citizens, more, as every year they put more and more emission controls on our vehicles, all in the name of environment, by prohibiting the act of converting street cars into race cars. Listen to this. This is crazy. They proposed a regulation now to prohibit conversions of vehicles originally designed for on-road use into race cars. The regulation would also make the sale of certain products for use on such vehicles illegal. The proposed regulation entailed greenhouse gas emissions and fuel efficiency standards for medium and heavy-duty engines and vehicles, Phase 2. Because that's not convoluted of a name enough. I guess it's just going to take as long as they can. The regulation impacts all vehicles, including sports cars, sedans, and hatchbacks, commonly converted strictly for use for track. And this is a quote from the president of SEMA and the CEO, Chris Kernstein. He goes, this proposed regulation prevents massive overreaching by this agency. It runs contrary to laws and defies decades of racing activity where EPA has acknowledged and allowed conversion of vehicles, and they have no right. Congress did not intend the original Clean Air Act to extend to vehicles modified for racing as and reinforced the intent on more than one occasion. The EPA has indicated it's expecting to publish its final regulations by July of 2016. And what's truly insane about this is the amount of emissions produced by race cars on track day on any given day is minuscule compared to the total amount of vehicles traveling the United States, and even more minuscule compared to the amount of pollution that China pumps out on a minute-by-minute basis. Go look at photos of China. Just type in China pollution in your search bar. Does nobody think that pollution doesn't travel? It just goes in the air and stays stuck over China? It pollutes the entire earth. It goes everywhere. So to put more restrictions, what they're wanting to do is tuners, exhaust, superchargers, turbos, anything that the EPA doesn't deem as street legal, they want to make it illegal to even put on race cars that are certified as track cars only. So you have vehicles like the Z28 Camaro that came out last year. Dad and I got to drive that at a dealership that was test drive one. Blast of a car, absolute blast. Super wide, has 305 width ratio tires all the way around, front and rear. Handles like a track car. Most people take that car. They usually don't tag it, or they register it, but they don't ever tag it. They take it to the track, they mod it out further, and they actually race with it, professionally race with it in some cases. What they're saying now is because that car was designed and it is street legal and it applies with emission standards to begin with, you cannot do anything to it that tampers with EPA regulations, or it's deeming that illegal and it's deeming any other part that's sold to make it not street legal illegal. This is complete and totally nuts. This is beyond anything we've seen before as far as tyranny when it comes to pollution in the United States.
Well,
this
you know, also the craziest part about all of this is the fact that they spray millions of tons of aluminum, barium, and strontium on us from the air with the CIA with chemtrails
in the
United States and pollute the very air that we breathe with things that cause Alzheimer's like aluminum. I mean, if they want to clean up the atmosphere, they need to stop spraying this filth on us every single day. In fact, I need to bring Dane Whittington on the show. He'll give you a whole story on that. I interviewed him last year on the Power Hour. Okay, here's the final story. We're running out of time now. Careful with those anti-corruption, anti-government tweets. Twitter is launching Orwellian counsel to curb dissent. Twitter has now stated that it will be working with the government to stop any type of anti-government information and basically be turning you in for doing it. President Obama has called on social media sites to join the fight against terrorism, which will essentially translate into censorship push. And as with many push for censorship, though the premise might be rooted in a laudable intent, the reality almost always ends in a clampdown on those who choose to voice less popular opinions, and if allowed to continue without careful oversight, eventually ensnare almost all dissenting views. Wow. So now they're going after tweets and after Twitter. And so now when you say something like, go look at this article, or go look at this, or look what Obama did today, or look what they're doing now, that's going to be considered terroristic, I guess, language. I don't even know what to say about this also. What do you think about this? Because I don't even use Twitter. I mean, what is up with that?
I don't either. And last time I checked, I thought free speech was didn't matter whether it was relevant to you're not happy with your government or not. Well, we've already discussed it before. This is just further encroaching on rights. They know if they did this 20 or 30 years ago all at one time, there'd be a revolution in this country. But again, like you said before, they're making the little boys and the little girls, they're making everybody gender confused, they're making sure nobody can modify their street vehicles anymore, they're making sure nobody can talk bad about the government. And they're doing all that. And at the same time now, they're doing more and more as they can to try and strip us from our Second Amendment right, because they know that's the only amendment that actually bears any teeth to hold the Constitution true to the American public. And that we see its collaborated effects. So we know it's further and further going downhill. And one last article I wanted to touch on. We've got a few minutes left here. This is interesting. The candles, plug-ins, and aerosol-scented cans need to basically throw them all away. They're extremely dangerous to your health. Researchers have found now that long-term candle use, just regular scented candles, can cause tumors, lung damage, and severe asthma. In fact, the chemicals like formaldehyde or paraffin can transform the structure of our DNA. As for air fresheners, they've been linked to lifelong health issues like asthma and interference with hormones. The Public Health England Center for Radiation, Chemical, and Environmental Hazards found that these air fresheners contain considerable levels of formaldehyde, which can cause nose and throat cancer, according to the Town and Country article. Another article published in 2003 in the International Journal of Public Health also found that pregnant women who use these air fresheners are more likely to have babies who are suffering from wheezing, breathing, and lung infection. Scarier still is the research found that you didn't even need to light those scented candles for them to be a danger. Studies now have shown that just touching it allows for some absorption of chemicals and simple evaporation, also leaving traces in your home. It's much better to stick with organic candles or essential oils for your house. That's usually what we use anyways, and they make your house smell just as good. But stay away from all this chemical-laced garbage at the store. It's not good for you.
Wow. Well, you know, I know they have a over at Disney Village. I occasionally go over there and visit the rat, and we call Mickey Mouse the rat. In Florida, we don't really like that area very much because it's so crowded. And it's some things that Disney did with the FBI and things. If you want to redo some research on him, you'll feel the same way. And what was interesting to me with the whole thing with that is I remember they have a scented candle shop there one time, and I walked through it because it was raining, and my eyes almost swelled shut. It was that bad, that fast. And I thought, wow, who'd put that toxic mess in there? In fact, even when we walked by there later, if they had the doors open letting the scent go out, I would do a big arc around it not to breathe it again. By the way, the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We almost forgot to give out the phone number again, Austin. HealthMasters.com, we sell the highest quality vitamin supplements in the world. We have the top vitamin manufacturers make our products to our exacting specifications. Our quality control standards are second to none. All of our supplements are made in a basically an FDA-registered drug laboratory as far as in quality control standards and in humidity control standards and in basically quality as far as no other types of ingredients can get inside of the products that we make. So we manufacture those, and we basically have those available for you at healthmasters.com. Many of you have started buying your supplements from us. Many of you are ordering your supplements from us. We also have water treatment systems, water purifiers, and we also have distillation systems and storable food. So we have a lot of great stuff at the healthmasters.com website. You can go there. And you can sign up for our free newsletter that we offer that comes out, I think, four or five times a week now. And you have all the latest articles that I've written on different health topics. You know, how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar, and body fat naturally is what we're covering right now, plus a lot of other really good information. We appreciate you guys being with us today. We appreciate you guys listening to us. I want you guys to know we love you, and we appreciate you. What else you got to say, Oz?
Well, one thing I have to say is I hate saying I told you so, but I told you so about the gold and silver. I've been telling people for months now when it was down at, you know, 14 an ounce for silver to pick some up. We're already starting to see it rally now. I don't know if this is going to be a continued rally. I know we have broken past 1,200 solid now. We actually went up to 1,250 a day on gold, and it's leveled back out at like 1,242 right now. Silver just touched 16 today and leveled around 1,575. So, I mean, it's come up substantially just in the last month. If you guys want to grab some, I still recommend it.
It's up almost $200 an ounce from where gold was. That's almost a 15% return in just a few weeks. I mean, I'm glad we told you guys to buy it when we did, when we told you, and hopefully you did, because the problem is, something's happening right now with the currency reset globally. There's no way that the Rothschild banking cartel is allowing this gold to go up like this. I mean, it's already up almost 20% in the last few weeks. If it continues to go up like this, it's going to be at 2,000 an ounce within the next 2 months. And if that happens, they're going to let it just go on up. And if you notice, they ratchet it up until demand and supply starts leveling off. And still, over 300 ounces of gold are traded every day with the COMEX for every 1 ounce of gold that's actually physically deliverable. So it's a really good investment. I suggest you take delivery of it. Keep it stored in your safety deposit box or whatever you want to do. I wouldn't keep it at your home. I would keep it somewhere else because it's too much if you start buying large quantities of stuff to have at your home. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Anything else you want to say, Austin, in closing?
That'll be it, guys. It's been a great show. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Friday.
Thanks so much for your support, guys. We appreciate you.